Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Seller Roundtable Extras. And today we are here with Baptiste Posier, and he's going to tell us about his Amazon journey. Welcome, Baptiste.
Hey, well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Amy. How are you doing?
I am so good. So it's nighttime here in San Antonio. It's 8 o'clock at night, and we normally record these at 1 in the afternoon, but Baptiste is in China. So he actually lives in China. And so it's going to be fun talking to a seller who has that firsthand experience living in China. And of course, what time is it there?
So right now it's about 9:30 a.m. So it's morning. And it's all a way across the world. So quite nice to be here.
Awesome. And you live in Guangzhou, China, right?
That's correct. I live in the city that hosts the Canton Fair. So in Guangzhou. Yeah.
Awesome. So speaking of, you know, things about you, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about you and where you were born, you know, where you live now, you know, basically your life story, but, you know, the abbreviated version.
Right. Right. So I was born and raised in Paris, France. And very early, I quit the regular school to go into a cooking school to become a chef. That's the career I chose. And then I wanted to work with big names in gastronomy, such as Alain Ducasse and Mr. Joël Robuchon. So really like high profile chef. And that was very nice, but it was very army-like, and I think I had a problem with discipline at the time. So anyway, a bit later, I just moved to England. I thought it was a good idea to speak English, you know, and I started to travel. And I stayed there for 5 years, and I really enjoyed it. Then after 5 years, I decided, well, that's all fun. And, you know, now I speak English, it's great. But, you know, I think my roots are in France. And as a chef, I should go back. And I went back into to Paris, and I decided to open a restaurant and a bar. So this was great, you know, my first business venture, per se. It lasted for about 4 years. I failed, so I lost most of my capital, and this was very tough, but it was probably the best business lessons I ever had. So this was, I guess, the first stepping stone in my journey. And then after a while, I started working again, you know, and I met a Chinese woman. And she started to talk to me about China. And I was like quite curious, you know, Asia is so far away. Don't have much experience about Asia. Only been to Thailand for holiday at some stage. So I was like, okay, let's go, you know, and have a look. And she showed me a region next to Laos, Vietnam, Myanmar, which is called the Yunnan. And I really fell in love with that region. It's very authentic, China. Is the complete West, so nothing to do with Beijing or the city. And, you know, I really fell in love with that part of China. And then her parents could not speak either English or French or they could only speak Chinese. So I guess I started to speak a little Chinese with them. And a few years later, when we separated, unfortunately, I thought, you know, this experience is great, and I like China, and I now come every year for 2 months to train myself and discover more. I was like, I don't want to waste that, and I want to continue. And so I was looking at the opportunities. I was trying to run away also from cooking. You know, I was being tired, and I didn't want to have another venture into the hospitality industry. And so I looked for opportunities, and that's how I come about Amazon. I thought that Amazon, being here in China, next to the factories, would be a good competitive advantage. So I looked at my situation, saved a bit of money, and made the move. And I'm here since September 2018, and I've been learning about Amazon and starting my store in December. And here I am today.
Oh, wow. So, and I usually talk a little bit about how I met people, or if I've met them before. And I actually met you in China, but I had heard of you beforehand because you were kind of starting up a little Amazon community on Facebook, and I got to know you that way. And you were posting some great tips out there and just some interesting information. And you and your friend Chris were hosting a get together, a networking event in China during the Canton Fair. And at that time, that's when you guys came to our networking event. We came to your networking event, and we just kind of got to know each other there. So I was like, hey, you should come on my podcast. That's, you know, usually what I ask everyone who I meet, right? So be careful out there. If you meet me, I might ask you to come on my podcast. But, but so that's where I got to meet Baptiste and learn a little bit about his journey. So you talked a little bit about, you know, when you first learned about selling on Amazon. And, you know, what about, so you've been selling a little bit over a year now, you said?
So typically, I wasn't completely sure I wanted to invest straight away in inventory. I basically started really Amazon, my store open on the June 2017, right? And I did a couple of months of arbitrage, but not having a car, being in London, I thought the model was, you know, retail arbitrage per se was more, I thought that being in the USA with the car, going to Walmart was a little easier. I guess I didn't like the hunt of the product and scanning. You know, some people really enjoy that, and I'm not one of those. And so I was looking at all the business model into Amazon, and I was really driven by the private label model. But I thought that I needed to get more knowledge going, and I started to learn. And, you know, I've been invited to Las Vegas for a conference, which was called Just One Dime. So this was my first really step into meeting Amazon sellers. So I went to Vegas, and this is where I met with Chris Davey, and we got along very well. And there was the AESD trade show as well. And so we had a walkthrough. He told me what he was doing in China. And this is probably because of Chris that I thought of, okay, I think I want to go to China. I've been to China many times, and now the opportunity has come. So, you know, it took me a few months to make the move, but I was already looking at developing a private label in China. And between March and September, I worked a lot in the kitchen, and every single 5 minutes I had, I started, educating myself on podcasts, on groups, you know, just trying to feed myself with as much knowledge as I could. So that when I started in really December, when I launched my product, my first product in December 2018, I would have a lot of, knowledge and fuel to put behind the rocket. And I did well, so I was quite happy I did it this way. I wanted to take action from the get-go, and I saw many people starting in like the same time as me. And it was sometimes frustrating because they were doing well. But most of them, I've heard stories of people starting just the same as me that turned very sour, and bless them, you know. They have lost a lot of money. I mean, I know a couple of people that have got really lost over 10 grand for their first product. So it really breaks my heart when I hear those stories, I have to say. And this is also perhaps the reason I started a little community, because I wanted to share my experience, and I wanted to share what it is to be a newbie seller in China. You know, this is why.
Yeah. And I think it's, you kind of bring something really interesting to the table, because to most new sellers, China is so foreign, right? They don't really understand the culture or how to talk with suppliers or really what they're looking at when they look on like Alibaba or any of the websites that are out there. It's really hard to know the man behind the curtain, I guess you could say, right? It just seems like, you know, it seems like you're getting scammed wherever you go, right? And there's so many horror stories, as you mentioned, that I can imagine. You know, I kind of wanted to share my journey from the very beginning as well. And that's kind of how Amazing at Home was born. It was just sharing my journey and other people saying, oh, hey, you know, I ran into that too. Or, oh, wow, that thing that you said really, really helped me. And that kind of just fueled me to share more. So you're saying that your product, you know, you chose a product, right? And you launched one product to start with, or did you launch many?
No, just one product. I wanted to show myself. I wanted to prove myself that what I learned was valuable, and I could just, you know, implement my strategy, my system. So I sort of picked an item because I try also to do something different. That's one thing I learned is Amazon is changing so fast that in order to, on my level, with that the little bit of cash I had to start, I had to be very different than most of people. I had to go against the mainstream to keep that mindset. And what I did is I found, because of the region that I first discovered in China, which is the Yunnan, I found probably the second biggest wholesale market in one of the cities there. So if you think of Yiwu, you've got perhaps 80% of the size of Yiwu in a wholesale market that's Westerners would normally go or typically go. And so I found that the barrier to entry is a bit more high because there was no translator, there was no sourcing agent or anything. But with my friends, we went there and she did the translation, and I got great prices, probably like 10 or 15% on some of the items you can find in Yiwu. So, you know, you're coming to China, it's already cheaper. You've got, because of the location, you've got more art and craft type of items, if I may say, because you're more Southern Asia type of looking at. And the prices are even cheaper than most of China because it's considered as a poor region. And there's a lack of competition. Well, there's a complete no man's land of Westerners. So people just don't, you know, they just really treat you as a Chinese. They don't have any price ready for the Westernese. And that was my advantage. By the way, if you guys need to know, if you want to come to that wholesale market, the name is Chinese, is just escaping my mind. But the city is Kunming. Into the Yunnan region. So if you want to have a look, you'll find it on Google. The wholesale market there is open to everybody, just like Yiwu. And it's just under the same sort of settings. You know, you've got streets and streets and streets of little shops and stores, and everything is sort of in one category. So you've got everything range from home and decoration to pet supplies to clothes to textiles, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very well organized. It's quite easy. The region is awesome. The food is awesome. I would really recommend anyone to go. Back to my story. This is where I found my first item. And so I looked at bamboo item in the home and decor section, and I was like, "Oh, this has got something very unique about it." And I asked for the price, and it was as little as 50 cents on a dollar. And I looked it up on Amazon; like similar item would sell for $15 to $70 on Amazon. So I was like, "Wow, this is amazing!" So even though the category I was choosing was very competitive, the main keyword was well over 5,000 results. So I saw, how the hell am I going to put my product first page? But I was like, this is a great challenge. And so December, I started to rank my product on Amazon. It was on the Amazon UK. This is the market I'm selling into for now. I'm planning to launch 5 more products this summer into the US as well and the whole of Europe. So I'm scaling this up a little bit now. So this was my first item and this was my first market. And I managed to rank it like first page in the first or second rank for the 3 main keywords.
And the wonderful thing about that is that you had enough margin to be able to spend the money to rank. So what a lot of people make the mistake of doing is they find a more, you know, a competitive product, a competitive keyword. So, you know, if I'm selling coffee mugs or water bottles, right, you're competing for that main keyword and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to get to page one or stay on page one? But the thing is, if you have margins like that, if you are able to get, you know, such great margins on your product, then you have room to really adjust your pricing and stay very competitive, as well as spend extra money on advertising. Because even if you spend $4 a click, you know, to be at the top of the page for your main converting keyword, and then you convert for that keyword and you can stay there, well, you're still making a profit with every sale. And that's where the most people screw up, is that they source something at such a low multiplier that they can't make any money on it when it is, especially if it's in a competitive category, they can't make any money on it when it goes to sell. And then they say, well, I can't rank it and I don't have enough money and I'm just losing money on PPC. So it's pretty cool to be able to be in China and find these. Basically you're getting the direct to Chinese prices, you know, and even if you go to Ewu, you get everything is priced in RMB. And the thing is, at any wholesale market, people should be aware that in any wholesale market, you are dealing with wholesalers. So they're giving you higher prices in most cases than you would get direct from a manufacturer. But
absolutely,
you can buy in smaller quantities, right? So you don't have to buy a whole truckload, which is really nice. And so you can test the market with smaller items, which is what Baptiste is doing. He's saying, okay, well, I got this item for pretty cheap. I've got plenty of room to learn with this item. And you know, what do you have to lose? You paid 50 cents. And how many units did you buy initially?
The first, I bought a carton of 100, just like very little. And if I wanted to, I could just buy, you know, a few more and it would be like, the price would jump from 50 to 70 or 80 cents. But then it's very comfortable. And you know, I'm actually writing something about this because this can be also done from online.
What did you do to make this product? So obviously you bought this from a wholesale market, so you're not dealing direct with the manufacturer. So you can't really make changes to this product, and it does make it very competitive to compete. So what did you do with this product after you bought it from this wholesaler to kind of make it look nice, make it look high end? How did you design your packaging and get it into Amazon after that?
Okay, so right, every person's got a different situation, and that's why it's so important that you find the right fit for your strategy. Considering that I wanted to do the minimal amount of work on the packaging, on the added value that would cost, I just digged into myself and look at how I would write my menu. And this is all about copywriting, right? And this is my added value for that particular item. So I started to make people, use Word in English as much as I could, because that's not my native language, right? But how would I sell a plate of a dish? You know, sometimes you actually sell something and it doesn't sound good because of it's a part of the animal that, you know, people go like, oh. But then if you just pick another word and sort of put it into a certain manner, it sounds appetizing. You out of the sudden, you want to get on the table and eat it. And so I did my listing in such a way that for that bamboo, I was just really banking on the environment friendly and on, you know, it's 100% natural product. And I was trying to develop that. And this has been my segment since. So I really focused on one thing, on how I could well present that product. And I tried to just really sell that product for these type of people that would react. And that
did
well.
So you did less on your packaging. You focused less right. on creating a beautiful package and all of that. And, you know, and you focused on your copywriting and it actually being a decent product on its own so that when they made the buying decision, it came through. Now, what about reviews? How did you handle reviews? And did you get any bad reviews? Do you have any kind of stories to tell about learning from that?
Right. No bad reviews so far. Only good reviews. Not that many. I think I'm about 8. So, you know, it's just really all organic. No black hats, no black technique, but really, again, 100% customer service, engagement with the customer. This, if you know me, this is what I'm all about. Just really engaging with people. I love, you know, taking the time and effort. So it's all about how you can duplicate that at scale. If you, you know, you need to find a way to be that person behind your product and back it up with all your heart. And this is probably the best of the white hat techniques that I can suggest to anyone.
And, so, you know, as far as your product selection, so you mentioned this was your first product and you selected right. it because you just thought, well, I could get it it's a nice looking product, it's quality, I can get it very cheap. And even though the competition is pretty high, I mm-hmm. have the margin to rank and I'm going to be creative with my copywriting. But what about your product selection process? So you mentioned, okay, you plan to launch 5 more products soon here. So what is your product mm-hmm. selection process all about? Talk us through that.
Okay, so this has evolved a little bit. You know, this first product was really a try and error basis product. So because of those margins, I could play around with no stress. As I said, you know, I bought 100 units at 50 cents each. So you can see that how much investment. Then, you know, between the shipping, I had a lot of place to play with. And I could really sort of not stress on, I need to sell. You know, I've got a dead product in the garage. But I could really focus on what work and what not and do some trials and error. So that's a luxury, you know, to figure out what things work. But now for my process selection, I've got a slightly different angle. And now I'm trying to focus everything on the trend. And so this is my little trick for you guys. What I do is I use Helium 10. I use viral launch, market analysis and such tools. But I typically don't start there. I like the manual approach, you know, and I start with Google. And let's say I'm going to pick a category that's on Amazon that I'm, you know, comfortable selling into that requires the minimum barrier to entry for me personally. And then I go to Google and I'm looking for the trends. So my typical search would be, home and kitchen trends for 2019. And then I'm sort of getting to a creative mode of, you know, letting my eyes and heart, you know, guide me through that. And I will have probably like affiliate websites talking about some trends and You know, I go to trade shows and looking at exhibitors and go to their website and whatnot. It's really a in-depth process of getting into whatever content I can go through and then scrap it. You know, some people can even invent some software to scrap it for you, but I like to do manual because then I can really better assess the product I'm looking for. Actually, not before the product, I really try to look for the segmentation of the market. What is the people are about? What do they like? What's the trend, you know? And then I'm trying to find with that trend the gap that's about 6 months to 12 months gap between what's happening on Amazon and what's happening on Google and other websites. So the more gap you have, the more time you've got to entry the market. And I compare it into second tool, Google Trends. If I see something into the next, the last 5 years, that's ascending trend. And if I see that there's a lot more volume coming up, just a bit like you're playing with the stock exchange, you know, you see a great ascending trend. Well, that's a great indication, you know, so lights are turning green out of the sudden, and I'm going to go in depth to do more research. But typically my strategy is to entry when the competition is at its lowest on Amazon, so that then I can come with an ID and dominate. And those products that I find on wholesale markets or Alibaba that I can get for a little MOQ and a little price, I'm going to batch test them to Amazon and see if the response is going to be, see if there is a response in Amazon marketplace. If people can find me without PPC, without any, you know, shenanigan, without optimization, if there is a response in a 4 weeks time frame, then I consider that I'm onto something. And then I'm going to select some products that I'm going to send to Amazon, select a few less, you know, and I'm just going to go like narrow it down. So I go with a mile wide and an inch deep approach. I send maybe 20 products and then, you know, I'm going to narrow it down to a couple. And that's going to be where I'm going to start optimizing the listing, sending beautiful picture, work on my copy. And I found that technique to be quite efficient for me, at least in the way that I do things. But the product research is so important to find that entry to market with low competition. Low competition meaning, you know, very, very limited ACoS with your PPC. All you want to do is just farming a 99 algorithm for keywords and see where is your best chance to entry and sell. And if you start selling already, then you're on to something, you know, and then you can scale up slowly and go from batch of 50 to a batch of 100. And then while you're selling those and while you're building your real estate on Amazon, you know, acquiring market shares basically, or establishing a new market with your trendy keywords, then you think of differentiation. And that's why I connected with you, Amy, and you know, you told me about designing products, and this was so interesting. And you know, I really enjoyed talking to you about this. And this is where I would suggest anyone to go. In that time where you prove the keyword in your product, then you start designing your own product. How could you, you know, bring two different products into one, or how can you improve the product that you found? So that, you know, when hijacker is going to see like, okay, this person is actually dominating a market. This item, I know I can find it very easy. It's made in China. Then you're already a step ahead of the competition by differentiation, and you can reach the factory. You know you've got a market. You know you've got a response. So your success rate, it's much higher. So that's the strategy.
Well, that's a really great strategy. And I love that you started, because what a lot of people do where the mistakes are made is they start on the product research software and they look for low competition, high demand, right? And right. That the problem with that is, one, you're probably already too late.
Right.
And
yeah.
Two, you don't know if that's an upward trend. or if that trend's going to stay the same, you know. So what you're doing is what I like to tell people to do, which is start with the market, look for holes in the market, and then fill those holes with products instead of starting with a product research software that everyone else is using with the same search filters. And now you're like, Eureka, I have this amazing product that is high, super high demand, high search volume, and low competition. I'm going to launch it. Well, guess what? So is everybody else. So, you know, it's just not a good strategy to use product research software. Now, it's good to use product research software as one tool in your tool bag. That's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a flawed strategy when you're going in and you're just getting on Viral Launch or Jungle Scout and going, yep, this is my product. And you're making your decision based on that. And you're not going out and looking at the trends on Google or, you know, checking out different things. And most of those tools are free, you know. The Amazon search bar is free. The you know, Google Trends is free. So there's a lot, you know, looking on Pinterest and see what people's going on. And like you said, checking out the exhibitors, all different. You can go on trade show websites. You don't even have to go to the trade show. You can register, like for ASD, for example, you can register for ASD and you don't have to attend and you still get the whole exhibitors list. And then you can go and check out each of the exhibitors and what's like, what's trending, what's hot, you know. And then the other tip that I give people in the US is to walk through stores like Walmart and Target. They pay buyers for trends. You know, those people are paid for trends. So if you're looking for the latest trends, you're going to find them on the shelves, on the end caps of those stores. That's prime real estate. So what I have to ask for you though, Baptiste, is you live in China. You can buy 20 of something. You can walk down to the market and pick up 20 of something, you know. You can ship it straight from China and on the way out. And I know all of our listeners are going to think, well, that's great for him, but how the heck do I get 20 of something and send it in? Do you have any advice? So
there's you always have to find, you know, your weak point, and I guess this is my best advice for any business. Take your weak point and transform it into your best assets. You know, leverage your situation and see, you know, what is your best angle. So for me, the problem was that I didn't know the process of finding a product. And so I went developing this strategy because I was in that spot where I needed to find it. But then I thought about, okay, the guy that's somewhere else, how does he do it? Well, you can do it online. So if you go to things like, okay, a wholesale market, just to be more clear, a wholesale market, what is it? It's a marketplace where Chinese sell to Chinese. Okay, that exists online. If you go to Taobao, if you go to 1688.com, if you go to Jingdong, those are wholesalers that is pretty much Alibaba.com, but from Chinese people to Chinese people. And then you get the best price, right? The only barrier to entry there is just having someone that speaks Chinese or can read Chinese. So you can do it through Google Translate, or you can hire a VA, which I recommend would be more like a Malaysian VA or Singaporean VA, because they speak Chinese fluently, that's their native, but they don't necessarily have the same bias than Chinese that are very ambitious sometimes. So as VA, I would recommend more these nationalities, because they do speak Chinese natively, and they probably are really cool to you know, to work with. You know, there's no really like preference about who's coming from where and for what reason, but they just speak Chinese and they're really nice to work with. So that's what I would recommend. But they also have in those programs, just like on Amazon, if you take a picture and you feed their system, then they will suggest you some items that might look exactly like the thing you're looking for. So if you're not in my situation, not being in China, you can do that and find products. It takes some adjustments and some practice, But I find it very, very useful. I'm still doing it myself. That allows me not to go to the market and just not leave my office. And I verify prices as well. You know, like if I've got a supplier that's already supplying me a product, I go check on those websites. That's another thing, is to see what kind of price I'm getting, you know. And if I see something cheaper, I'm like, hey, hold on, you know, you might have some, you know, tax on the import, but I'm paying those and not you. And then, you know, you might have duties, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that doesn't justify the difference. So I would recommend people that have already a product launched to check the price on those websites. Taobao, Jingdong, Yalibaba.com, which is the Chinese version, and such. Yeah, so you can do it this way. The other way you can do it is by having someone source it for you. There's tons of sourcing agent that will do the search for you for a premium, of course. But some of them, you know, I could eventually give you a couple that I would recommend, do a very great job, you know, and they save you a lot of time. And they've got a team ready and they work with already lots of foreigners. So if you want to leverage your, if you've got the means to do it and don't spend as much time and have a great result, there's sourcing agent that can do for you, given that you know them and someone's vetting the service for you before. Last thing you can do is also working with the prep center. And that's what I'm trying to build now on the side of the Amazon business. I'm trying to build a platform that is safe. So I'm trying to put that method and how to source completely into a course. So I'm writing the course right now, and I've got a little group of people that are all from the same community, mysilentteam.com. It's Jim Cockrum. It's very dear to me, this community. This is how I started to learn and Amazon. And I want to give to the community almost like a free course. And so how to do it successfully. And so I'm building this platform with other members that are in China that work with warehouses. They pick and pack, they do packaging, they do all sorts of service, and to make it so that people can have a look, you know, you order on Taobao and 168, you send it to that warehouse, people have a look, you know, check the if the item is correct, if it's good quality, if it's not bumped, you know, and then help you to do a bundle, or they help you to do a packaging with it. So to add value on it before you send it to Amazon. And what people, what we're trying to set up also is to people to gather into a charter, you know, just like a charter container to lower the price and be able to ship by sea, for instance. You know, a lot of arbitrage or people doing like testing low quantity have to go through the air freight thing, which is a lot more expensive. And then what we're trying to do is giving the people the ability to do it by sea. So there's really like lots of different ways to go about it. You can also send it, I think, from Taobao. There's an open service to worldwide. So for not that much money more, you can be delivered to your door. But that would probably take a while before you get your product. And
what did you say, Baptiste? From Taobao, there's a service to what? What is it called?
So it's a door-to-door service. I've never set it up because I'm in China. I don't really need to, but I've read about it. And so if you inquire like through Google or if you do some research, Taobao, you can register a Taobao account just like you would do for an Amazon buyer's account, right? And you can buy from Taobao and get delivered in certain countries. I think it's 14 countries worldwide. USA being, of course, one of the countries they deliver to. So it might take a while before you get your item, but you can also, send the products to yourself. You can
Got
buy
it.
From Taobao.
Because
yeah.
That would be, I think, something that a lot of people are wondering about is, you know, shipment. Because if you're trying to source in small quantities and you're trying to get them shipped to the U.S., that can sometimes be tough. And especially when you're working with Chinese suppliers that are only used to working with other on those Chinese platforms where it's mostly Chinese to Chinese, right? So right. I think that it's going to be tougher for people. But as you said, if you make that your conquest to figure that out, then you obviously have a leg up. So, you know, it might be worth it to take the time to figure that out. So,
yeah. The only reason I'm not emphasizing the service is that I didn't try it myself. So I can't really speak too much about it. But I would recommend to try, you know, what if an item costs you 50 cents and maybe a dollar on top of that to get it delivered to the door. I mean, why not doing it? You know, it's a good experience anyway. Then the other way to resume is probably having someone in China doing it for you, you know, and give you reports, whether on Zoom, Skype, whatever, you know, you just make sure the source, the people that you work with are trustworthy, and they give you a good report on what the item is. And you can base your judgment on that and not just trade off the factory. The great thing on Taobao and 1688.com is you get the factory's address as well. So then you can start inquiring, you see if they come to Canton Fair. There's an all different world of getting to the source as well, you know, making different comparison. And that's great for your, you know, entrepreneur journey. If you come to China later, if you make the move, it's a great first step to do everything from your home in the United States, you know, and try to figure things out, because this is what's happening here, back here in Canton. I mean, back to you, Amy, how was your experience in Canton this year?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was absolutely, I loved it. I have 28 products on my launch list that I'm getting out for this year. And you know, I don't do anything small, Baptiste, come on. but you know, I'm excited. I've found plenty of manufacturers for new products that I've already tested out, that some of them that I've, you know, put on Amazon already in small quantities. Yeah. And now I'm going to, you know, but like we were talking about on this call is, you know, actually developing those products into winners that you've already validated. So, right. So yeah, it was a really exciting experience. And it was very cool just to see that China isn't so far away. You know, mm-hmm. That's the big thing. So that brings me to my next question. So you live in China, and what is that like? What is it like to live there when you're not Chinese? You know, how is it?
Right. So it's, you know, most of places I've been are absolutely peaceful, meaning people are not aggressive. It's really, you know, you don't want to do crazy stuff when you're not in your own country, like, you know, showing off and, you know, taking bills out of ATM and just flashing them off in before your pocket. Because even like if you go to France, my own country, you might have some problem over there. If you go to the US, you might have some problem over there. So, you know, if you just keep from the stupidity, I think it's very safe, really. And that's one of the things that a lot of people might be scared of, is like, what's going to happen, you know, because it's a total different political system, and etc. It's actually very safe. That's the first thing. The second thing is, yes, there is pollution, but now their cities like Shenzhen, they've completely changed all of their bus couches and taxis. They turn completely electric. So some areas now are developing, but understand their responsibility towards the rest of the world. And you've got that on TV. You've got that pretty much everywhere. So people slowly here getting conscious of their impact on the environment. So it's getting less polluted. And in Guangzhou, I don't feel that much pollution. That's another thing. What it's like, the language, of course, is a barrier. But I think when I start to open and try to speak Chinese, people are smiling, welcoming, ready to help you in general. Apart from the taxi driver here in Guangzhou, like rude, they will, you know, ignore you. They will just not do the counter thing, you know, the machine counter. They will actually do all sorts of a noise with their organs, you know. So I don't want to get into that too much. But yeah, apart from the taxi drivers, everyone's just very, very nice.
With the taxi drivers, I felt like, you know, I agree, the taxi drivers were a little crazy. And there were times when I had to like scream at them and be like, turn your meter on, turn it on, they will, because, you know, there's that sign right there that basically says, if this person does anything wrong, just call the cops and get it on video, you know? So it's like they know that that's posted right there in their taxi, and they know that they can't really mess around too much. But, and it's just funny, like some of them would get on their phone and talk at like the loudest volume, and you're just trying to ride and enjoy your ride. And so it's definitely not like, you know, but ultimately there wasn't any time that I didn't feel safe, right? Like even with a crazy taxi driver, yeah, I might feel like, okay, this dude's going to crash, but I didn't fear for my life or feel like I was unsafe or like anyone would do me harm, you know? So that was really great. Like even when I was walking by myself in China, I felt very secure and safe. And I think that that is something that is an important part of visiting anywhere. So it's good that we kind of can tell people about that. So speaking of, you mentioned silent, you know, My Silent Team and Jim Cockrum, and you mentioned Just One Dime and some other folks, you know, but what, as far as your motivation goes and, you know, the things that you listen to and, you know, your podcasts, your favorite books, motivational material, what are your favorites?
Right. So, my major influences have been Jim Cockrum, Chris Davy, which has got a community. He's got a lot of things coming. It's just so, always so busy. So we all wait for Chris Davy's amazing content to come out. But he's definitely one of my major influences. You know, my French background with luxury brands are playing a part into the way that I write my copy, everything. But you know, your podcast, of course, is on my radar always since I've met you. So it's a great, great, you know, occupation to listen to it. But as far as books, I guess, like many of us, I see lots of similarities. You know, Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill would be one. Motivation, like seven. The Seven Habits of Very Efficient People. That's a book that really motivates me. My personal or the personal MBA by John Kaufman is something that I find extremely useful at any stage of my business, and for scaling in the future. And then there's that guy called Ray Dalio, which is is an investor in the U.S. And he's been the CEO of Bridgewater for many, many years, and has been working with great companies, putting system into place, and now is basically the head of the biggest hedge fund in the whole world. I think it's like $377 billion under his company's management, and he has a book called Principles, which I really recommend to everyone. It's not just about investing money; it's just really about how to do things differently and keep into the habits of things. So that was a major influence to me. Also, I love to listen to many podcasts, not just one. I like to diverse my source, but for Amazon, I would listen to Ecom Crew podcast by Michael Jackness and Dave Bryant. Of course, the Serious Seller podcast is just the continuity of Manny's AM PM podcast, and Yes, Seller Sessions, Danny McMillan, that's a big one for me. And recently I've been following Evelyn Demiroff. So they're going to have an event, I think, in London in the 1st of June. Those guys are no fluff, straight to the point value. So if it's more advanced stuff, though, so maybe, you know, you want to spend your time there when once you felt comfortable with Amazon and everything. And of course, you know, one of my silent mentors, shall I say, Jim Cochran's My Silent Team Radio. So yeah, that would be my my go-to podcast and go-to books to get motivated, balanced, educated, and wanting to always get more.
Yes, it's good to be diversified. I agree with a lot of the books you mentioned too. I love Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's just a great book. And I'm a big reader because I don't ride as much anymore. So I used to listen to podcasts in the car all the time. And so now I just read a lot more. But yeah, I'm all about, I've used to listen to Manny's podcast all the time when I first got started, when I was on my way to work, you know, and just some great tips about, you know, I think I remember just some of the original, just little ninja tricks he gave were really good. And I enjoyed those, enjoyed learning from some of those. So, I mean, really, you know, you've given us some great insight into just, I'm going to call this podcast really, you know, kind of starting out and sourcing small quantities from China, because I think you've given some really great tips on that. And, what advice do you have for other sellers that are just starting out? Like, if you could give one solid piece of advice, what would it be?
Right. Don't go mainstream. Just look at your situation. And I would go as far as to say your strategy is like a wife. So you need to pick her very, very carefully. You know, don't just go follow the trend of taking the tool. Really figure out your situation, find your angle, differentiate. And do it. Just taking the mild while deep, inch deep approach. You know, make sure you understand the things and narrow it down to something you get comfortable with. Lower your risk, augment your success rates or your success chains. And that would be my advice. Yes.
That's really great advice. I love it. I love just kind of, you know, I like to tell people, don't get stuck in analysis paralysis. There's a lot of information out there. Just take your time, do your research, and just start small. Like, give yourself permission to fail. It's okay. Absolutely. Because you're going to fail small, right? And then you're going to move forward. So it's like, you kind of have to, I think the best way to move forward is just to say, look, I'm going to send something little and small into Amazon, and I'm going to just put it out there. And it's okay if it fails, because I'm going to learn a lot, and I'm going to do this process. And so that's, you know, that's the best thing I think people can do to get beyond their fear of just beginning. You know, just buy something and send it in. It's not rocket science. Don't overcomplicate it. Just get out there. But I love the analogy you gave about pick your product like you were going to pick your next wife, you know, hopefully your only wife, right? For, you know, and that, you know, she needs to be a gem, a jewel, right? And put the time into that. So that's awesome. Well, tell us, Baptiste, before we end here, how can people find you and get in touch with you?
Well, I've got that little community on Facebook. So I've got a Facebook group called Seller Supreme, The Gateway to China. And you can find me on this. Otherwise, my Instagram is Supreme FBA from China. So you can find me there as well. And otherwise, just me, Baptiste Rosier. On pretty much every media you can think of. So yeah, contact me. I'll answer all of your questions with great pleasure.
Well, awesome. And I will put all that information in the show notes so that people can find your Facebook group, Supreme FBA, Gateway to China. our Supreme FBA from China. And, you know, and I'm sure that people that get into kind of learning some of these new platforms like Taobao and Zhengdao and, you know, the Alibaba and all these different ones that you mentioned are just so much fun to kind of, you know, you were showing me the apps that you have on your phone when we were in China. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's all in Chinese. But you were just showing me, well, hey, you know, once I click in here, I can just click on the camera icon, which everyone can recognize. And I can put a picture in there of a product and I can find one. And then, you know, you've got Google Translate and everything else. So just don't be afraid to play around. What's the worst that can happen? You might find a product for 50 cents that you can sell for, you can sell for 25, you know, hey, there we go. So, you know, thank you so much, Baptiste, for being with us
today.
Thank
you for having me. Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed having this conversation with you. And hope to have many more to come and hope to have you on my group now.
Yes, definitely. I think I'm already in your group. But hopefully
what I meant was like I would love to snatch a little interview and feature you on a video on my group.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.